This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And it's a perfect place for Canadians to come and enjoy the sunshine. And I'm always inviting Hannah Mary McKinnon to do that. And I'm so happy she's on the program today because she has a great new book. It's called The Revenge List. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay. Well, it's so wonderful to talk to you again. Of course, you are the girl with the most diabolical mind.
You say that every year, I think.
I do. You're so sweet, and you have this lovely voice, and you sound so gentle. And then I get this book, and oh, boy. what a book. Page Turner, for sure. And, of course, this one is, I really, I mean, you know, your books are always so great, but I love the way you open the book, with the way you introduce your main character, Frankie. I liked her right away. I could not really relate to her for her actions, but I could understand having, let's say, in this time of the world, some real anger issues.
Yes, she definitely has some anger issues. And what you said, that you understood her, that makes me so happy, because as I was writing her character, I felt that some people or many people might not relate in the way she deals with her anger, but they would then understand why she is so angry. And that was really important to me. So I'm glad that worked.
Well, it does. And as, of course, you know, with the name, The Revenge List, we got somebody who's got some anger issues. And what do you want to tell about the story? Because I think you've really captured somebody here in Frankie Morgan. I did relate to her in the fact that I understood the feeling of frustration that she was going through. So tell us about Frankie Morgan.
Well, basically, the book is the story of an anger management group therapy exercise gone terribly, terribly wrong. So Frankie ends up in anger management group sessions because of an altercation with a client at work. She works construction. She's a project manager for her father's business. And something happens, and she ends up in anger management, which she has agreed to go to, much to her, well, reluctance, really. And in the first session, she is tasked with writing a forgiveness list. So a list of the names of people, basically, who she feels have wronged her in the past and whom she could work to forgive. Of course, Frankie doesn't really want to forgive anyone because she doesn't like them, hence why they're on her list.
I think that's why I related to that part.
And so she writes this list. She thinks it's a pointless exercise. It's not going to work, but she does it anyway. And then the list
goes. And let's just say it goes. It goes. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And then one by one,
we don't want to tell people what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. Because, I mean, when you're going to write a revenge list, and I love how you wrote about the anger. The class, I could feel like Frankie having to sit there and listen to that and look around her at all the other angry people, and sort of and making her more angry.
Basically, yeah, it was almost. There's a conversation with her brother later on in the book where he asks her how's anger management, and she says counterproductive.
The way you write it, now, I've never been to an anger management. I've never been to any of, I wouldn't do it, first of all. But, because I don't like all that sharing and stuff. I'm sorry, people, but it's important. You do it. If you're angry, go to one of these classes. But certainly the way you write about it, it's so, I don't know if it's so realistic. Did you go to an anger management class just to check it out?
No, I didn't. And you know what? I would have felt basically like an intruder to do that, you know, a spy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if I hadn't used anything, if I'd gone to a session like that, I just would have felt it would have been wrong,
yeah,
you know, to go. But I did speak to a number of psychologists, and one of them, AF Brady, a good friend of mine, she read through that particular scene, and she said, that sounds about right. So
I mean, I thought it was so good. It's such a great scene. With so many of your books, all of your books, I want to film them. You know, if I had money and if I win the lottery, you know, I had a lottery winner from Canada. He won $1 billion in Canada. The largest lottery winner in Canada. He was a guest on my program. He wrote a book about it.
Wow.
Now, if I got that, then one of the books that I would option, well, I'd option all of your books. What the heck? You know, I'd put the, because you have these wonderful scenes that are so cinematic. I saw that scene in my head. I'm looking, I had this sort of creepy feeling. I'm sort of looking to my left. I'm looking to my right. Are these people in my, you know, in my room here while I'm sitting in my reading chair? Did they sneak in? Because you write it, so it's just so great.
Oh, thank you. Well, I tend to write what I see in my head. You know, if I visual, because I'm quite a visual writer, so I'll think about the scene and what does it look like, and then I'll write what I see. So the fact you say that it's cinematic and you can see what I've written, that makes me really happy. Thank you. That's such high praise.
Yeah, well, I'm always praising you. I mean, I've been praising you since the...
That's true. That's true
because first, I love to say Hannah Mary. I don't know. I just love to say Hannah Mary. if I had been your sister, I would have, well, my sister, you know, also has a middle name, and she didn't like us to use it. She just, you know, so if, to annoy her, I would use it, of course.
Of course. That's what siblings do.
A little anger management there. Now, have you ever written a... Now, this is a forgiveness list. It's not really,
yes.
It's not a revenge list. I mean, you're not.
Yes.
I actually wrote a revenge list.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I wrote a real revenge list, and I'm working on it, as a matter of fact. Because, and I have 10 names on it.
Should we ask why?
Well, you know, they deserve it. They deserve it. And they are going to be, they are 8 lawyers and a producer. who stole my work.
Oh, boy.
And I sued them, which was a stupid thing to do when you're young and in Hollywood. You don't sue anyone.
Wow. I don't have a revenge list, I have to say. I don't have a revenge or forgiveness list, either or. I don't have one. I remember holding a bit of a grudge towards somebody who wasn't very kind to me in high school. And funnily enough, we had a high school reunion, and we were talking, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to go. And we went. I went along, and this person was there, and we started talking, and they couldn't remember actually because I. They said, "Oh, you know, high school was so much fun," and I countered that well, it wasn't for me. I really didn't like it, and they were really shocked and surprised and asked why. And I said, "Well, mainly because of you." And they were so apologetic and so lovely, and I remember thinking, "Okay, I was feeling anxious and I was still mad about what had happened." This was about 10 years after we finished high school. And I set all of that down, and all of that baggage down, and I never picked it up again. It was quite a informative moment.
It was. Well, you know, with Frankie, of course, I love that the fact that she's in construction, and you know, you've given her a nice position there. And we're not going to tell people what happens, but there are so many aspects to this story. Of course, she's a wonderful character. And then there's the dynamics with her father and her past and her brother, also great characters. And you have all these little twists and turns so that we are kept guessing what's going to happen. And I think you must have a lot of fun in working that out.
I did, actually. I had a lot of fun planning the book. And right at the beginning, right in... Before even chapter one, there is actually Frankie's forgiveness list. So it's who's on there, why, and then she's giving them a rating from 1 to 10, of 1 being the most difficult to forgive, for the and 10 being the lowest. And I remember writing the list down, thinking, even really before I started plotting much more, thinking, okay, so who would be on the list? What's their name? Why are they on there? What did they do, or what does she perceive as what they did? And how bad is the grudge she's bearing against them? So I already had fun in that stage, and I was cooking up the reasons why somebody would land on Frankie's so-called forgiveness turns into a revenge list. And then plotting the story out, I did have a lot of fun with Frankie, because she's, you know, she carries a certain amount of anger. Obviously, people who pick up the book should expect that she is angry, but not throughout 360 odd pages, because that would be exhausting. There are pockets of humor in there as well.
Oh yes.
And she was just so much fun to write, because she says things and does things that are off the cuff, and she dares to really voice things that I would never say. So that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun writing her.
Well, exactly. I, you know, what I liked about her is that, you know, she's got this baggage, but there's also something, I kept wanting something good to happen for her. You know, I wanted it so badly, and I'm trying to think along the way, what is going to happen, what will be something good for her? And there's something, and I think that people will enjoy the twists, and it's just a fun read.
Thank you. I hope people enjoy the twists too, and that they can't see them coming. When they see the list at the beginning, they wonder, ooh, what did that person do to Frankie? Why are they on the list? Because that's part of the fun of reading the book, I hope, too.
Yes.
Is finding out not only what happens to Frankie, but why the people are on the list in the first place. What happened to Frankie in the past that made them deserve a spot?
Oh, and I do like her neighbor. And
yes, Edith, the annoying neighbor.
I think people tend to have them. My annoying neighbor actually might be listening, so I can't say. In my condo, we have a condo development, and there are 3 buildings, and everybody, you know, there, because I do book talks, and I do, people are always coming to me and say, how can I write my book? I get a lot of input from people. I just want to say, if you're listening, I do forgive you for taking my laundry out of the dryer and throwing it all over the table.
Oh, no.
For everybody to see. Oh. So
next time, please fold it.
Exactly. Do it. But I just think it was when you got this idea, it just popped into your head?
Not really, no. So what happened was I had an idea for a book, and I thought it was really cool and interesting, and my agent did too. We were geeking out about this idea, and we sent it to my editor, and she said, I think that's too quiet, you know. What else do you have? So I pitched another one, and that got turned down, and then a third one, and I didn't think the third one would fly, but I thought, this is what I've got at the moment, you know. And sure enough, that one got turned down as well, and all of them, my editor said, they just seem not quite high concept enough and just too quiet. And I thought, oh my gosh, too quiet. I'll give you too quiet. What's not quiet? An angry person. Ooh, what can I do with that? So it really sparked from me being a little bit frustrated with the situation, not with my editor, she's absolutely lovely, or my agent, she's lovely too, but just frustrated with myself that I wasn't coming up with something that met their expectations, you know, and thinking, oh no, I'm going to miss my deadline, panic, quiet, what's not quiet, an angry person, and then I was off. That was the spark. It was pressure, really.
And then your diabolical mind jumped into action and came out with all sorts of...
It did. Frankie came really quickly, actually, after the idea, and then this idea of this anger management group therapy and what could possibly go wrong if you write a list of people you should forgive and then things, you know, go south from there. So it really was a lot of fun, and Frankie developing her... you know, even though she was angry, but I still found her really funny. I had a lot of fun, and it really was a pleasure spending time with her as my character. It really was.
Well, and the reader will find it the same way, because I did enjoy being with Frankie. I felt very, I don't know, I admired her spunk, and I understood her, and I just liked her. So that's a big winner for a writer when you write somebody that, you know, your readers can say, yeah, you know, and they'll remember her. I think they'll remember her.
I hope so. And it was a gamble, to be honest. Just like last year's book, Never Coming Home, writing from the bad guy's point of view, I knew that was a gamble. And this year, writing from Frankie's point of view, an angry woman, you know, they're not necessarily understood or accepted or widely appreciated. And that was really interesting, too. You know, how do I write this angry person, again, not for 360 pages, but who does have somebody who ends up in anger management, how do I still make them sympathetic to the reader? And that really came from character development and as we mentioned right off the top, helping the reader understand why Frankie is angry and frustrated. It does come from her past, and the more the reader will read and discover the story, the more they'll understand why she's so ticked off.
And you are great at the reveal. You reveal a little bit at a time and keep us going. Now, aren't you a lucky person to have an agent and an editor who are so good to you?
Yes, I am. I'm incredibly fortunate, and they're wonderful. I've been with Carolyn Ford now from the Transatlantic Agency for, oh gosh, 5 years? 6 years? I'm not sure. Quite a long, 6 years probably, somewhere around there. And I have a new editor, Mira, actually, Dina Davis, because my former editor left the industry and works freelance now. And they are brilliant. I am in extremely great and capable hands.
Oh, this is something that, you know, for writers, if you just find the right people who spur you on, and obviously they understood you. They sort of drew this out of you. They must have known there's something more inside her,
bigger. Yes, exactly. I don't mind at all that. My editor said, no, that, you know, this idea is a bit too quiet, because I ended up with Frankie, which I'm really grateful for. And those other ideas, they're still in my back pocket, and I'm going to see if I can do something with them when the time is right, perhaps.
Well, you can, you know, give them some zing and...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's what happens. It sort of ferments in your brain until it starts bubbling over and...
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, it's so wonderful, of course, being a Canadian. do you plan to come to America sometime?
Yes. In fact, I'm going to Thrillerfest in New York on the 2nd of June.
Oh, well, that's going to be great. You know, now that we went through those pandemic-y years, it's sort of everything got all fogged up and messed up. It's still hard to believe that we're out of it, you know?
I know. Well, I was just in Switzerland, actually, visiting my dad and my sister and family, and it felt completely normal, you know, going on the plane, being over there, coming back. It was, I mean, of course, you know, shouldn't downplay COVID. It is still very much around, but it certainly doesn't feel like 3 years ago when you and I were talking about Sister Dear that came out then in 2020, and it was just, oh my gosh, it was completely different than now. So I've never been to Thriller Fest before. I was supposed to go in 2020, but then of course COVID shut everything down. So this is my first time. I'm really, really excited.
Oh, that's going to be fun for you. It's going to be great. You know, it's just so wonderful when I sort of been watching how you've developed and you know, it's just, I get so thrilled for a writer when they get to this point. Now, have your books been translated already into other languages?
They have. So, let me see. The Neighbors is in Estonian and Swedish. Her Secret Son is in Estonian, and last year's Never Coming Home will be in German. It's coming out in Germany in September, and Poland as well. So that's really exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. Now, of course, you were raised in Switzerland, so you speak.
Yes.
Are you the Swiss or German or both?
So I speak Swiss, German, and German. So this is the first translation of any of my books that I will actually be able to read. So that's really, really fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's exciting. Oh, it's fantastic. And of course, going back to Switzerland for a vacation, that must have been wonderful.
It really was. The weather was awful. It rained a significant amount, but I got to see my dad. It had been a year, and we went to the family, so it really was terrific. It was lovely. I had a great time.
And so after this, you're working now on the new book already?
Yeah. So I have a romantic comedy coming out as Holly Cassidy, believe it or not, a pseudonym, on September 26th. So that's a completely different genre. It's called The Christmas Wager. It's light, it's sweet, nobody dies, it's completely different. So that's in September. And then I have another thriller, which will publish, I'd imagine, next spring. We don't have a title yet, but I can tell you it is about the rise and rather violent demise of the all-female pop rock group, The Bittersweet, when one member decides that maybe this band is worth more dead than alive.
Aha! Uh-huh. Okay, that's intriguing. Okay, again, you can get a little bit of all of the strange things in your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yes. Yes, after writing the romantic comedy, I was quite keen to get back to my murderous ways, and it was really fun to write, really fun.
Well, I think The Revenge List is great. It's, you know, all your books are great, but everybody get this book, Revenge List. It's a wonderful read. You'll enjoy it, and Hannah is a great writer, and Hannah Mary McKinnon, that's your website, right?
Yes, that's right, hannahmarymckinnon.com.
Yeah, so that's all you have to know. The book's available online, and it's a great read, and people get it. And then you're going to be back here in September, so we can talk about the new book, The Christmas.
I would love that, yes,
okay.
Let's do that. That'd
so
be fun.
I'm going to mark my calendar right away, because I will take any excuse to talk to you. And I'm still hoping that you're going to come down to Florida one day here.
Oh. I hope so too, in the not too distant future.
Yeah, well, I think you guys have to come down and get some really great Florida sunshine and have fun here. Okay, so Hannah, thank you again for joining me today on Joy on Paper. You are always a joy, and we'll see you in September.
Thank you, Pat. It's been so much fun as always. I appreciate your support so much.
Okay, bye bye now.
Bye.
Oh, she's so sweet. She's a doll. Okay, we're going to play a book buzz from Rita Moreau, and then we'll have some commercials, and then I'll be back with my next guest.
Hello, mystery lovers. This is author Rita Moreau, reporting for Joy on Paper with a mystery that will keep you turning the pages. Forgotten War by author Don Bentley. Forgotten War is a heart-pounding, action-packed thriller written by author Don Bentley, who knows about war. An Afghanistan vet, Apache pilot, and former FBI agent, he has seen more than his share. Defense intelligence agent Matt Drake handles the nation's toughest missions while dealing with his own personal demon. He's got serious swagger, wry wit, and a lyrical heart. This is the fourth book in the series. For years, Matt Drake and his partner Frodo have watched each other's backs through some very dark days, but one thing they've never doubted was their commitment to each other until now. Frodo has been accused of a war crime 10 years after leaving Afghanistan. Matt is determined to prove his friend innocent, but what will he do when he finds his closest friend has secrets he won't share? Don Bentley delivers a blistering adventure loaded with excitement and fabulous characters. He has the ability to go from high-speed action to tender moments. We get an insight into Matt's own struggles and how his love for his family keeps him strong. He also has a hilarious side to his writing that lights things up a bit. But then it's back to nonstop action to the end that will bring tears to your eyes as well as joy. Brotherhood born in battle is a strong bond that cannot be broken. In the thriller world, you can get no higher praise than from Nelson DeMille, the author of the John Corey series. DeMille calls Forgotten War a word feast that few writers can match. Don Bentley dedicated Forgotten War to the 11 Marines, one sailor, and one soldier who gave their lives on August 26, 2021 at Abbey Gate. You will love Forgotten War for its relentless and crackling writing from an author who has lived this life. A stunning book that seems to end too soon. Forgotten War by Don Bentley is available online. This is Rita Moreau, author of the Ghost and Camper Cookie Mystery Series, reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions, go to our website, www.radio-joyonpaper.com. Buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest. Wow, this is exciting. Liv, I get two people for the price of one here. Liz Constantine, and their names are Lynn and Valerie. And I'm so happy to welcome you to Joy on Paper, Lynn and Valerie.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Thrilled to be here.
Okay, Liv. You know, I like the way you did that. If I was going to write with my sister, I would also love to do something like that, because when you're sisters and you have a sort of the same experiences in many ways, but you also you have that connection that is so strong, and the two of you have come out with this wonderful, wonderful amalgamation of your personalities.
Thank you.
You know, I love political thrillers. I love thrillers set in or suspense. In this case, it's also a thriller. It's a psychological thriller. I love anything set in Washington, D.C. I just love the setting, especially when we have the White House and Senate and everybody involved. And you write it about it so beautifully. Of course, Valerie, you actually worked in the White House, so you bring a lot of depth to that part. And then, of course, Lynn, you have, I think, a lot of the... I found a lot of the dialogue. I was thinking, I think this is Lynn. I'm not sure, but I think this is Lynn. So do you guys get mixed yourself up?
We do. Sometimes. We do. Yeah, usually when it's something that someone really likes, then we both take credit for it. So that's when
absolutely,
we get the
right? Right.
Well,
you know, but it is true. There are times that I will look at something that I particularly like and think, which one of us wrote that? I think I wrote it. I hope I wrote it. But, you know, we're not always sure.
Well, one important question, do each of you have a Balmain, a vintage Balmain gown?
Boy.
No,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, you know, start off that one chapter, and she's getting mm-hmm. ready to go to the White House, and she's got a Balmain gown. And I think, whoa, maybe you guys went out and bought yourself a vintage gown because, you know, it'd be tax deductible.
What a great idea.
Research. You know, to write about a gown like that. You really need to have it so you can feel what it's like to have it on your skin. You didn't do that, huh?
Too
no,
old.
But we didn't. I'm going to look that right up.
Yeah, we should go right after this.
Well, I think so.
Wouldn't that be cool? I think I'd love to do your I'd love to do your taxes. Put that down. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it must have been fun for you, Valerie, to write a little bit about going back to the White House and going to one of these events, because you were involved in a lot of that.
A little bit of that, yes. I mean, it was many, many years ago that I worked there. And certainly some things have changed over the years, but some things are very much the same. And I think today, with this 24-hour news cycle that we have and you kind of get a picture into what goes on in Washington. Everybody does. We pretty much all know what's going on, and we have a really close look, whereas maybe 25 years ago, things were a little bit more obscured to people who were not actually working there. But it certainly helped inform the book when I was writing, definitely.
Well, who wants to tell about the premise of the book? Because I love it. We get senators. I love. I just we never seem to have enough. So tell us about what's your spiel on this one?
Okay, I guess I can take a shot at the spiel, right? So yes,
yeah,
we're in the glittering world of Washington D.C., where Sloan Chase Montgomery is back after a tragic shooting accident took her husband. She and Whit, she's really newly married to Whit, another senator who also lost his wife in this same accident. And they're putting their lives back together. She's trying to get back to taking care of her foundation and going to all of the events that they're invited to. But she has to have hip surgery because she's been dealing with lupus over the past 20 years. And so they need to hire a home health care worker, which is supposed to be a temporary thing, and they find Athena Karras, who is a character. We get to be in her point of view, and we do know that she's up to something, but we don't know what. So she gets the job, and when Sloan gets home from the hospital, instead of improving over time, she gets worse. And slowly begins to wonder, is this woman that she's now at the mercy of after her life, does she want to take over her life? And it kind of goes on from there.
Yeah, well, Athena is a... It's a little bit of a warning with that name. Jesus. I don't know about that. I thought right away, okay, what's she up to? Because, you know, there are women who are always trying to grab themselves a senator. So,
exactly.
This is so much fun. I mean, this is really so much fun. I don't know. You know, when you're writing something like this and you're having so much fun writing it, I mean, do you sometimes just giggle to yourself like, what am I doing? I'm having so much fun.
We definitely have a lot of laughs, right, Valerie?
We do. Yes. But it's work, too. It's fun and it's work. But the characters who you sort of really don't know, you don't know what they're up to, and is this one good? Is this one bad? And there are several of those, and there's several different points of view in the book. So that's what's fun, to sort of make them mysterious, still being fair to the reader, and not throwing in a curve ball that doesn't make sense. So that's, I think that's part of the fun of it.
Now, when you're writing, you know, how do you do the organization? Do you have like a character sheet that both of you work from, where you put everything down about each character? Because, I mean, since you're working separately, you have to sort of keep it all organized.
Yes. I mean, we do. We have a like a list, and because, you know, sometimes we, especially with the minor characters, it's easy to get mixed up with the names and we'll forget. So we do have a master list that we keep adding to, and we share and update. And then sometimes, you know, we make the mistake of naming a minor character. I did this once. Too similar to like a main character, and then Valerie will have to say, oh, you know, got to change that. So we're always kind of keeping an eye on the names and company names, or any kind of a name in there, because if you only write it for like one or two scenes, it's so easy to forget it, and then when you need to bring it up again, it's like, oh darn it, what was that?
Yeah, what was that name?
Driver's name, and yeah, so we definitely mm-hmm. do that.
And it is important, because when you mention a hair color or an eye color, what they look like, that...
Right.
And this is recently, you know, last November, a lot of my listeners did NaNoWriMo, and they wrote their stories, you know, in a month. They wrote 50,000 words, and they've been gradually mm-hmm. coming back to me ever since the beginning of the year, saying, you know, I finished this book. And then I will say, well, have you done a character list? I mean, do you have a list where you have the details about your characters? Because when you eventually someday you're going to have an editor, they're going to want to know these things. They're going to want to know what you know, who's who and what's what.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's,
we
and
learned
it is
that
helpful.
From other books, right? Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Now, you have beta readers, right?
We do.
Friends, yes. Our sisters-in-law and then some friends that we have, yes.
Okay. Again, this is something that I've had to tell these new writers that, yeah, you have to actually let people read the book.
Yeah.
Right.
I get them, they're ready to send it to an agent, but they haven't had anybody, I mean, they don't want anybody, their husbands, their sisters, their brother, they don't want them to read it because they just want to send it straight to the agent. And I said, that's not the way it works. You really got to have somebody read.
Yeah, and when we send it, go ahead, Lynn. Are you?
No. I was just going to say that sometimes we'll send it with questions.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
If there are five people reading it, and just to make sure there's no confusion, it's not necessarily asking them, well, is it good or not? I mean, that, you know, especially if they're your friends, I'm not going to say, oh, this is terrible. But, you know, any places that they found confusing, any places that were boring to them, you know, any things that seemed completely unrealistic, did they guess the twist, all of those things. And if you mm-hmm. see something, if all of them are saying the same thing, like, oh, well, I wasn't really sure what was going on, then you know you have a problem to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
or if they say, you know, it's really dragged here, I lost interest toward the middle, or all very helpful.
Exactly, and this is something a writer has to learn to take criticism along the way.
Mm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then you get better and better, like you. You too. Ever since you sort of hit the world with the last Mrs. Parrish, which I, you know, just everybody got enthralled with that book, and it sort of put you on the map. And since then, I think you're up. Well, I don't know how many you sold, but when you got to the first million, what did you do? Did you? I mean, how did you sell? How do you celebrate when you hit a landmark?
You know, we need a better set. We don't really have a ritual, and people have asked us that. And we need to. If you have any suggestions, we're open to that, because we just are like happy, and we'll post on social media, but we don't really have a like, oh, well, you know, toast a glass of champagne or this or that. We need to do that. So we don't. We just are very happy and excited. That's about it.
Yeah. Any suggestions?
Yeah, well, I will come up with one, because I think it's important, actually. It's wonderful, and it's, you know, then with what you're doing, my goodness, do you have the covers for all of the books, the translations of all your books?
We do. I mean, most of them. Mm-hmm. A few of them take a while to come in, but yes, we do. So there's, we're constantly adding bookshelves, and then we have a poster that we made with the book covers as well. Just, you know, that I have in my office. But yeah, there's so many gorgeous covers. We love seeing all
the foreign
covers.
It's so interesting, to see the different interpretations in different countries. It's really fascinating.
It is. I love to see how, you know, different countries pick up a different look for a book.
Yeah.
The same book, but they absolutely can be so different. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with you, now you have 28 languages to 30 languages. I don't know how many languages. You should just make a whole wall, you know, just wallpaper. That's what I would do.
I like that.
You know, that's what you should do. And then every time that you hit these landmarks, you know, just wallpaper another part of the wall. Because, it's amazing. I think it's so exciting always to see people really make a great success of it. But, and you know, you can also put a timer now on your website. Another one, sort of national debt, like they do that clock.
Right.
And in New York, somebody, I know somebody once asked an author, like, what's the best, most exciting thing about writing as, and I, for me, I would say, like, the royalty, man. The royalty. I mean, that gives me a kick.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
that is exciting.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's wonderful. And I, as I said, with this book, it's just, I think it came out at the perfect time, because everybody's interested in the Senate at the moment. Who belongs on it, in it, and who's fooling around there, and
Who should be gone.
And who should be gone, that's right. And and certainly, with your input, you know, you know so much about the background of Washington, D.C. You might have been gone for a while, but really, I don't think it's changed. Long time ago, years and years ago, I worked for a certain politician who, as a matter of fact, is a senator today, a very famous senator. And let me put it this way. It was a long time ago, and that senator has been there a long time. So I have some input into what that senator should be doing at the moment. And so I just got such a kick out of it. I think everybody will love this book. It's just, you know, the mystery is great. The who exactly who's good, who's bad, and who's all bad, and who's a little bit good. But
Thank you.
You have that dynamics. You're able to write nuance. You can do a little nuance to the characters.
So thank you.
which is important. And of course, you've gotten so much. Well, all your books, have any of them been made into films yet?
Not yet.
They're in the process.
We have options
on too. You have options. Okay. Well, I've been in the option world. I've been in the option world.
It's a very slow world.
Yes. You can be in that option world for a long time. But
yes.
I'm telling Hollywood, hey, Hollywood out there, those of my listeners who are out there, because I have some, I like to do this one and do a movie. You are, again, you have this, I want to be there to get that vintage Balmain gown. I think you'd have to select it yourself. And, you know, did you, like, where do you live, the two of you? Different places?
We do.
Yeah, I'm in Maryland. I'm in Connecticut. And Valerie's Maryland.
And did you have to take a trip down to Washington, D.C. to check things out?
We've both been there a lot, and Valerie lives near there.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So
you can... So we're there.
I'm in Washington.
So you know what's going on there. Well, I think it's a great, great deal of fun to read this book. I enjoyed it so much, and I want to thank you both for being on the program. I know one of the things about writing is that you can keep doing it and keep doing it for years and years. As Mary Higgins Clark was on my program when she was 89 years old, and she was still writing. And in February, I had Eugenia Lovett West was on my program for her 100th birthday.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. I love that.
That's great
to hear.
Isn't it? I love that. Yes.
It is something so wonderful. And, of course, now I don't know if you're going to go on tour or anything, but at least now you can meet people and get out there a little bit.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. We are doing a tour. Right. Yeah. Well, we really missed that in the past few years.
And, of course, I think, Valerie, are you involved with the... one of the organizations for, you know...
Lynn, International Thriller Writers.
Yeah, who is that? Lynn?
Yeah, that's Lynn.
That's me, yes. I'm on the board of International Thriller Writers, which is a fabulous organization that supports writers. And it's really how we got inspired to start writing again back in 2012.
That's right.
And so I'll be at Thriller Fest in another week.
Oh, that's right. The beginning of June here. So, that's going to be fantastic. That's going to be fantastic. I just had Hannah Mary McKinnon on, and she's going to be there. And she's from Canada.
Right. Yes.
So,
she's a good friend. Yes, we love her.
Okay, well, she was on just a few minutes ago, so you'll see her.
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't that nice? Because I love her. She's terrific. Well, one of the things I wonder, I have a few minutes. I'm going to ask you, I don't know, put you on the hot seat. Is there going to be a discussion about AI covers at this?
At Thriller Fest? Well, I don't know. I think there actually is a panel or a class. I mean, I know there is a lot of discussion around AI in every facet of the writing world in all of the organizations. So I don't have the schedule in front of me, but that sort of rings a bell. I do think there might be something on that.
There might be something. I wasn't able to go this year. First of all, I didn't want to plan anything because you had to plan it earlier, you know? And I didn't know who knew what it's going to happen with COVID next, and the thought of sitting on a plane with a mask on just freaks me out. So,
where are you located?
Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, how beautiful.
Oh, it is. It's so gorgeous here. So, yeah, you can come down and have a convention here anytime.
That would be great.
This would be perfect. And what we did, we had BoucherCon here a few years ago, well, before the pandemic. Everything's like before. Nowadays, we go before and after the pandemic, you know?
Isn't it the truth?
I know. Yeah.
So
hard to remember what year it is.
I know. It's all blurred. It just got all blurred. Well, you guys have a lot of fun at this convention. It's going to be great.
Thank you.
You know, stay safe in New York. I don't know where you're staying, stay safe and have a wonderful time. And I hope they will ban AI covers. So that's all I
want.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Because we need to keep illustrators working. They need.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They need money too, you know. I hope that if they're going to have a vote on it, you know, to get keep AI covers off of these books because it's not fair. Anyway, everyone is always going to be happy when they read your book. So make sure everybody get this wonderful book. Senator's Wife is by Liv Constantine, and you can see they have a website, and you can find out both about Lynn and about Valerie there. And the book is wonderful. Again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper
today.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. It was great to see you.
It's been
here.
A pleasure.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Well, think about that. You know, that's an idea of people. When you're going to write a book, put something in there like a vintage Balmain gown and, you know, you need to do the research. As a matter of fact, if you're going to get a vintage Balmain gown, take a trip to Paris, and it's tax deductible because you're doing research for your book. But of course, then you have to publish the book too. But it is nice. It is nice. It is most a lot of writers just starting off don't understand that they actually can deduct that from the taxes, and you need every little deduction you can get nowadays because they keep taxing us like crazy for everything, but not here in Florida where we don't have a state income tax people. We are very, very lucky. So, well, just think of that, how lucky we are for those of us who are in Florida. All right, now, what else do I have to say today? Oh, go to my website, www.radio-joyonpaper.com. I have a lot of new things up there, including I'm going to be putting book buzzes, animated videos of book buzzes. Especially, I just did one for Bria Burton, who does the sci-fi book buzzes. It's an absolutely fun video. That's going to be on the website. And also go to my Facebook page, which is Radio Joy on Paper. And you will see a lot of my videos there. Lots of fun to do them for authors because I want to help real authors, real writers, and that's the important thing. We don't want any AI writers or AI illustrators. We want real people, and we need to continue making the connections to real people. So check out my website and my Facebook page, because people, remember what I always tell you, that really one of the joys of life is truly to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry, because I would love to see her Witch City Mysteries. She's up to number 13. My goodness, what a lucky number. And her Witch City Mysteries would be terrific, and I would love to see them on the streaming video because I'm so bored with everything else out there. Anyway, everybody, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed, for everything. And he saluted me, and I saluted him because I like being saluted. I should have been a general. I am so sorry I didn't. I should have been. Oh, I'd have been a Marine general. That would have been really cool. I love Marines. Anyway, everybody, take care and have a lovely weekend, a long weekend, right? Is this a long weekend? Yeah, it is. Okay, bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
And a happy Tuesday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tam Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. The heat continues for another couple of days or so. High this afternoon of 86. Rain chances increase to about 50% today.